संस्कार ऑफ मधुर वाइफ प्योर मधुर ग्रह पति संस्कार हियरिंग बाई एनी रसिक वैष्णव इन दिस लाइफ आर पास्ट लाइफ देन देयर इज संस्कार कम्स एंड देन दे कैन हैव दिस सो इट इज निगूर and
Duru
and Duru and also in Mars if he mercifully gives it by these two regions and also that he has no taste to take it. ब्रह्मा नारद एंड भीष्म सुखदेव गोस्वामी हैव नॉट टेकन दिस देयर आर नो संस्कार एट ऑल दे वांटेड समथिंग एंड दे आल्सो समथिंग दिस आल्सो दे वर इंटेंगल्ड इन बोथ could not take it. So, if there is no sanskar at all, no mercy, special mercy, then anyone cannot take it. मैं योग्य नहीं हूँ, कुछ योग्यता नहीं है, संस्कार पूर्व जन्म का नहीं है. हम कहेंगे ना ये कृष्ण विदग्ध है. विदग्ध मैंने क्या
रसिक
दग्ध मैंने क्या होता है जलना
जलना
गोपियों के प्रेम से कृष्ण जले जल करके उनकी कैसी स्थिति हो गई हृदय में तर्पण है कृष्ण भगवान को तर्पण होती है गोपियों की उसे मिले किसने मिलना चाहते हो वो जिसका संस्कार नहीं है वो क्या समझेगा
तो अपने भाव में जिसको देखेगा
जिसको संसार नहीं है व्हाट ही कनेक्ट इमेजिन दैट किंतु कृष्ण परब्रह्म होकर के और आत्माराम आत्मकाम होकर के भी कृष्ण उस प्रेम से जल रहे हैं जो दिन अनुभव कर रहे हैं उसे मिलने के लिए अलग है आई कैनट डिफाइन दिस थिंग इन
Can you try?
They can say, but मैं क्या था बोलो क्या था?
Peter sir.
बोलो बस.
Peter क्या? I don't know. मारा भी कोटा क्या?
कोई नहीं. करना बड़ा मुश्किल है.
एक तरह से नहीं ना माने.
जब तक वो नहीं सकती समझे. कृष्णा रात भर दरवाजे के पास में खड़े रहे.
कहाँ
और कभी कभी ऐसे ऐसे खटखट कर रहे क्यों विदग्ध है प्रेम के लिए तड़प रहे हैं साधारण आदमी जिसका संस्कार नहीं वो क्या समझेगा ये साधारण काम इसलिए अनुपयोगी है मर्सी देना चाहते हैं मर्सी को देंगे इसलिए धीरे 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 जब लेकर के चलेंगे वहाँ जब पहुँच जाएगी तब ये संसार की ये चीजें एकदम ये संसार में ही समारस है जो कि दुखदाई है इसमें दुखदाई तो एकदम प्रारंभ से एकदम रसमय और आनंदमय चाहे इसकी कोई कल्पना नहीं कर सकता है यहाँ पर बैठ कर यहाँ पर बैठ कर माने अपने जरिए भाव के
द्वारा विदग्ध करना है
तुम्हारा सौभाग्य है कि हिंदी जानती है यहाँ। अभी ये लोग अभी नहीं समझेंगे, अब कुछ दिन के बाद जब आएंगे तब ये समझा नहीं थोड़ा सा उसको समझाने के लिए कहा कि वो क्या समझा।
जानती
है रूप भाषा में भी कम एंड विल ट्राई टू गिव His mercy to you, you cannot take, you can take my mercy, because I am nearer to you, and he is nearer to me, not to you.
अजी हम लोग तो आपकी मर्सी लेने के लिए अभी योग्य नहीं है।
उसकी मर्सी लेना बड़ा कठिन है बहुत। अरे तुम लोग उसे जल पान करो तो पान
पहले हरी नाम देंगे।
अच्छा आप चलिए कृष्ण को पहना दूं राधा जी को तो तुम हमको पहना दिया। ओ नवीन नवीन इस घर में पास वाले घर में तुम जानकी जी आई नहीं तो
Krishna is always dogdo. Dogdo means money in English term burn.
Sir, lahanga.
Langa.
Yeah.
This is langa?
Yeah.
Beautiful langa will be. Some artist langa. How it looks like 12?
Okay. Lord Nityananda.
Please.
Yeah. Should he wear a little jewelry also?
Jewelry?
No. Nothing. Could you briefly explain that?
Oh, Janki.
Why are you having it?
That means?
And all other meanings?
See, well, we have a translation in our songbook, but so that one doesn't seem clear.
What?
It says that he's like the moon and he shines on the heart and the heart shines back day and night. So it's not clear what that particular... Of course, everything we need your explanation, but I know that you're not well now. I know we need your explanation for every line of the song, but I was wondering if you could at least explain that line because it's so unclear.
That's a Sanskrit kosha dosa.
Again?
Sanskrit kosha. Aro ganta dosa. All meanings, you know?
Very superficially.
Then tell all the Makhi ki hai, Makhi?
Makhi, sir?
So tell that you should all go. Also to Makhi also. Makhi, you know?
Oh, the fly.
So that anyone cannot hear.
Oh.
Also go away.
Oh, I should go away too.
All three.
Why not? Only Makhi can go.
Even Makhi should go. What to tell
people?
And you can hear by one ear, not by both. Because it will tell to others.
I can turn off the tape and not.
কান কুবলে হে রূপ মাধুরী মিন্স
দ স্বীট ফর্ম অফ রূপ মঞ্জরি অর মাধুরী রাজ
He wants to have the darshan of Silarup Manjari. And she is so feeling so much separation. Please don't do
all characters of Mahabharata, even better than Arjuna. Krishna gives praise to one character. Even Krishna demonstrates by putting his hands down, begging with a begging bowl before one person. And he demonstrates to Arjuna the quality of sun god. Who is that character? Can you say? Anybody? Karna. Arjuna is not able to kill Karna with all his efforts. When Karna throws an arrow on Arjuna's chariot, he moves the whole chariot one or two feet behind. Krishna says, wow, very good Karna. He praises it. Sitting in Arjuna's side, he is praising Karna. And when Arjuna hits an arrow, he pushes Karna's chariot about 20 feet behind. Now what do you say? You're not aiming right. Do it better. And again, Karna pushes his chariot one or two foot behind. It is beautiful. Krishna is keeping on doing it again and again, and Arjuna gets very much disturbed. He says, I want to ask you a question. Now let's stop it and find out what it is all about. He says, he's pushing my chariot only 1 foot, and I'm pushing his chariot 20 feet, and you're all the time praising him, and you're asking me to do a better job of what I'm doing? What partiality suddenly is coming in? So Krishna says, see, you have demonstrated the... I know how clever you are demonstrating your cleverness easily, sir. They are friends, you know, they catch jokes on you. You are demonstrating your foolishness so easily. So he says, look at this. You pushed his chariot 20 feet behind, 10 feet behind. You think you are a great valor. But he is pushing a chariot in which the great Hanuman is sitting in the flag, dhwaja. And I am holding the entire seven down universe and up universe, all the universe, I am holding the weight of that. I am sitting in your chariot. And he is pushing this chariot for 1 or 2 foot behind. You should imagine what valiant that person should be. If he is able to push this chariot, he is really valiant. Then he surrenders, oh Krishna, I am forgetting. There are so many occasions Krishna teaches Arjuna in different ways. And in the end, with all his efforts, and Arjuna is not able to kill Karna, then he says, what is it, Krishna, what is it going for days together, why am I not able to kill him? He says, now I have to act for you on your behalf to finish this story. All the time I can see that it is his good deed, Dharma Devata, who is protecting all the arrows. Nothing is happening to his life because of his charity. He was the most charitable person in the world. Anybody who would give away anything he asked, they asked. When Arjuna's father went to him in the guise of a Brahmin asking for his kavacha and kundala. Kundala is the earring and kavacha is the protection for the chest. Gunproof shirt. Bulletproof shirt he was bestowed with at the time of birth. He was born with this covering. No arrow, nothing can kill him. It protects his body. And Arjuna's father, Indra, went in the guise of a Brahmin and wanted to ask him as an alms, you know, because Karna is having the good character of giving anything anybody asks. Come on, take it. If you want his wealth, take it away. He'll give anything and everything. And 10 times more fold he gets. All the time, whatever he gives, he gets more than that without asking. So he was a big charitable person, so Arjuna went to ask for his Kavacha Kundala. Surya was another demigod, sun god, wants him with a loud voice, Asharire is called. Look, Karna, beware, who is coming? This fellow who is coming now is not an ordinary Brahmin. He is Indra himself in the guise of a Brahmin, and he is coming to ask you of your Kavacha and Kundala. I am warning you. So, Karna says, oh no, I am ashamed of you. Are you called Aditya? Who named you Aditya? He gets angry with his father. You know, father and son can have that relationship. Karna gets angry with his father. He says, who named you Aditya? Aditya means impartial. Don't say, give him more, give him less, or don't give him. No, that thing it cannot be raised. Sunlight comes to everybody. Maybe a prince or a pauper or a good man or a bad man, thief or an honest man, doesn't matter. Equally bestows blessings on everybody. That is Aditya. I'm ashamed of calling myself son of Aditya. Why did you do that? No. I'm just saying that he is Arjuna. I don't mean whether to do this or that. Then sun god gets back. When Indra comes and asks him Kavacha Kundala, he just snatches it off his chest. They're all blood oozing on the chest and gives it to him. He's not afraid. With such a character, Arjuna is not able to kill him even then. Then Krishna says, now I have to go and beg him for all his good deeds. And Krishna goes before him and he says, I want you to give me charity. He says, what do you want? Give me all the good deeds that you have done. He says that I have already given to you. That's how I give charity. Anyway, as a formality, I'll do that. From the chest, there's no water here. So from the chest, some blood is oozing out. And he takes that blood and he says, Kayena vacha manasindriyorva bujhyatmanava prakate svabhava karomi yadyat sakalam parasu sriman narayanaye samarpayami. I give it to you. All my deeds and everything good deeds, I give it to you. I dedicate to you. I give the good benefits to you. That's what all of us are supposed to do after chanting. Now if we have chanted 16 rounds of the day, oh, I've earned my profit today, so I'm loaded with the good deeds. Don't walk with this. Give it off, Krishna. Surrender the good deeds that you do, the effect of the good deeds to Krishna. Let him give what he wants to give. That should be the attitude in our life. That much character comes to a person only with the blessing of the sun god. So all the Puranas and Vedas are full of information about the values of sunlight. We hide ourselves of sunlight. That's not good. And some people do too much of sun bathing, scorching in the sunlight for hours together. That's not good either. A little sunlight in all parts of our body to be exposed, influenced directly or indirectly, is very good. When we say sunlight, we do not mean the heat of the sun. The light of the sun is beneficial to us. There are different methods of taking sun bath. It is of course best to take morning sunlight, but it does not matter if there is a crisis, if there is a situation in which you cannot take the morning sunlight and you have only the sunlight for the daytime, take it. In New York, you don't have so much sunlight throughout the year, but whenever you get it, try to take influence of sunlight touching all parts of your body, at least for a few minutes. Not for the heat, but for the light. It gives you many, many things I cannot explain. It gives you vitamin D. And because you get vitamin D, you can get calcium, you can get phosphorus, you can get iron, you can get vitamin A. Everything becomes available from the food with the influence of sunlight. If there is no sunlight, you cannot consume these foods. It will not be available to your body. You can eat vitamin pills years, but it will not be available to your body if it is not taken in the form of food and if it is not influenced by sunlight. The food that you eat, the carrots, cucumbers, tomatoes, they are all having this sunlight effect in them. And when we eat these foods, we get some benefit of the sunlight. But if you eat foods which are not influenced by sunlight, like we have many drinks, which are synthetic drinks available now. What are they called? I don't even remember. So all those, what is it? Yeah, sodas, many kinds of sodas. They don't have any influence of sunlight. They are not natural, but they go to deplete our energy. They reduce our lifespan. So avoid those foods. Have a little sun bath every day. Next comes when a person is having very difficult situation, like a sinking situation. A person is going to die, or he's very weak, his blood pressure goes down, pulse gone down, you don't know what to do. Maybe he has life. Don't rush him to the hospital, but rush him to the sunlight. The best hospital in the world. You have it spread all over the world. And if you have sunlight, you must have seen read Prabhupada Lilamrita. Wherever Prabhupada had any physical problem, he went to a place where he could get plenty of sunlight. You can see from the living examples of gurus that the values of sunlight is so important. Don't heat up your head. Keep your head in the shade. Expose your body to sunlight for a short while, turning this side and that side. Influence all parts of the body to sunlight and come out and take a shower. Next in order comes the air cure. We can live without eating for some days. We can live without drinking water for some days. But we can live without the sunlight also for a few days. Few months rather. You live here without sunlight for a few months. But we cannot live without air for even few seconds. That much important. And the air that we breathe in and breathe out is not only through the nose. When we breathe in air, the air goes into the lungs and comes out of the lungs. The lungs is a box or a bag where the gases from within the body and outside the body is exchanged. The toxic gases from the body, waste gases, get out of the body, and the useful oxygen from the air that we breathe in is absorbed by the body. This oxygen further goes to help in the combustion of the sugar that we have in the body. And that combustion, the oxygen doesn't burn, but the sugar burns with the help of the oxygen. Without the presence of oxygen, that sugar can never burn. And you, when the combustion takes place, some heat is generated in the body. And that heat is called the energy in the body. When a person dies, his body becomes cold. It does not generate any more heat. And when the oxygen goes in, when the air goes in, it helps you to resist the outside air pressure. If from a balloon you remove all the air, the balloon collapses. Why should it collapse? Why should it not remain like that? You fill in air in the balloon, it bulges out and forms a shape. You open the mouth and the air escapes from inside and it collapses and it becomes a flat thing. Why should it become? Because the pressure from outside is so much that it presses the walls of the balloon and it collapses. So also the body inside is kept in shape not only with the water but the air that goes in. There is lot of gases inside the body, which is important part of the body. That's what the air influences some pressure to the outside wall, to the walls of the body, so that it cannot be pressed by the outside air. So when we go to a high altitude in an aeroplane or in a hill, we feel a little stuffed. That is the pressure that we experience from outside. We have to do a little deep breathing and fill in our system with more air. This air goes into the body and comes out, and that is essence of life. Breathing in and out. When we breathe in, that air is called prana, the prana vayu. When we breathe out, it's called the apana. Both are important. If you don't breathe out, just keep breathing in, you can die. If you just keep breathing out, don't breathe in, you can die. And both these activities have got to be rhythmic and have got to be proportionate. And that rhythmic breathing is called pranayama. Prana is life and yama is time. Or regulating life into a rhythm is the exercise. Ayamaha is exercise, yama is time. Why ayamaha is exercise? Ayamaha means regulated movement. It's called exercise, pranayama. Pranayama is the exercise of life. That is breathing. The most essential exercise is pranayama. If you learn pranayama, you develop mental equanimity. You become more peaceful. Your nerves become relaxed. And your whole tension, your stress is removed. And you become a better person. You don't become irritable. If you are able to notice that you are going to become angry, and if you can take a little time out and do a pranayama session, maybe 5 units, then you find that you have a better control over yourself. Of course, in the Bhagavata Purana, the best control that you are expected to have is over your tongue. But if you are also able to have control of your breathing system or your temperament, then you can save many, many complicated situations without committing a sin. When you are passionate towards sex or any indulgence or overeating, or anger or emotional distress, just do the pranayama. If you are able to remember, I want to get out of this situation, when you are realizing that situation, you are already a blessed soul. You are already blessed by Krishna. If you are able to do it, then I tell you there is a method. That's a sure method of getting out of that situation, is to do a little pranayama. Many of you might have heard or learnt breathing exercises from various institutions. But I would like to give you my version of it, because I consider this the best method. I am not criticizing other methods, but I am trying to tell you that this is the method which you should learn. If it is the same what you learned, good. In this breathing exercise, we divide this into three parts. First, Rechaka, Kumbhaka, and Puraka, Kumbhaka. Kumbhaka is one, Rechaka is one, and Puraka is another. Rechaka is removing the air from inside. Re and Re, removing, and Rechaka, breathing out. And Kumbhaka is holding in that state. And Puraka is filling in. And when you fill in again another Kumbhaka, that is retaining the air within the lungs. This process has to be done pleasantly. Some people I have seen doing pranayama with a strained face. That's not pranayama. Pranayama has to be done with a smiling and complacent face and comfortable posture. That's how you should do pranayama. And soft, prolong the breathing and do it comfortably. And when you hold the breath, don't hold it so long that you are struggling to hold on for some more time. Don't do that. Hold it as comfortably as you can and remove it. When you remove it, again you have got to hold the breath. There again, don't put stress. Cardinal principle of natural hygiene. On non-violence and self-reliance and trust in God. But they are very important. Simplification, third is simplification. It should be simple. Whatever you learn, try to simplify it. Of course, the most simple is not do it. But don't go to that extent. But this, when you do it, there are complicated methods, simpler methods. Simpler methods are the better ones than the complicated ones. And self-reliance is one, if it is simple, you don't have to have a guide to teach you. And if it is non-violent, anybody can practice it without any risk. The process of breathing must begin with breathing out, because first we clear the lungs of all the foul air and then hold the air outside. Now breathing in, soft, hold the breath, and as long as we can comfortably hold, and then breathe out again. The breathing out can be done with the mouth, through the mouth. That gives you a total breathing, exhalation. And breathing in has got to be done through the nose, never through the mouth, because mouth is not a breathing organ. When you breathe out through the mouth, the air comes out not only from the lungs but also from the stomach. It contracts the stomach. But when you breathe in through the mouth, that's wrong, because first of all we don't have the filter that is available in the nose. That reminds me of another warning. Some people practice some yogic kriyas called the neti. Putting in some rubber band inside the nose and taking out, putting it from one side and taking it out from the other side and cleaning out the nose like that. They put some thread also, some people do that. And say they put it through the mouth and take it out through the nose, or vice versa, all kinds of things. Don't get into those things. It is unnatural, it's violent, and it's not necessary for us. If you learn the pranayama, that's good enough. Some people claim that by doing this you never get common cold. But it is not a blessing not to get a common cold. Common cold is a warning of indigestion. Common cold is a protection against contaminating your body, against further indigestion. I will explain to you if I get time in the end. But don't get into that practice. That's no practice, breathing exercise. I will demonstrate to you. I don't have sufficient time to go through the whole, get you all to practice it. But if some of you want a session tomorrow, I'm here tomorrow also, you can get in touch with Pramogini and arrange so that I could give some time to an interested person to learn it more intimately and more thoroughly. Like I'm going to teach you Surya Namaskar, like sun salutation and the breathing exercise. Of course, there are ever so many things to learn, like eye exercises and the neck exercise and so many things. But I will give the best whatever is possible tomorrow, and I will demonstrate the breathing exercise. It is necessary to sit in a comfortable position and with the head, neck and the spinal column straight as is prescribed in the Bhagavad Gita. And when you start the breathing process, I told you what are the different things I am doing. I will not be speaking, I will be just doing it so you can observe and follow it after I finish. Don't do it when I am doing it because you won't observe fully. What I did was a two unit. One unit of pranayama comprises of once breathing out, holding the breath outside, once breathing in, holding the air inside. While doing so, while breathing in, try to expand the chest. Put all your attention on your chest and try to fill in the lungs as much as possible and hold the breath there. And when you breathe out, try to contract the stomach fully out. This is the first stage of pranayama. And if you keep practicing for a few days and you are able to do it better, then you can go to the second stage. In the first stage, it is better to keep your eyes closed because it's a bliss, I tell you, it's very enjoyable to do this process and you get all relaxation totally. And your mind will not be distracted with what you are seeing around. You can easily meditate and you can easily relax your nerves if you do this pranayama. And then the next stage is to breathe in through the nose, breathe out through the nose, breathe out the rest through the mouth, and then hold the breath. When you breathe in through the nose, you can completely hold the breath. And when you breathe out, it should be divided into two parts. First, breathe out through the nose, and second part through the mouth. I'll do that now. good. When you do this second stage, after a few days, you will come to a state where the air through the mouth is absolutely nil. In the beginning stages, more air will come through the mouth, or even though you have breathed out through the nose. But after a few days of practice, the nose gets the capacity of breathing out the entire quantity of air, and mouth doesn't have to bring out any air. At that time, you are qualified to go to the third stage. The third stage of pranayama begins with one side nostril breathing in, holding the breath, breathing out through the other nostril, holding the breath, breathing in through this side, hold, breathe out through this side, hold, keep going like that. And in the whole process, our attention should be to increase the duration of holding the breath after exhaling. It is called Bahya Kumbhaka, retaining air outside. That duration must be increased. Not violently, but gradually and non-violently. When you get a good capacity of holding the air outside without breathing, without having to breathe in for a long time, then you will enjoy your life. You will prolong your life. You can extend the duration of your life. There is a school of thought which says that throughout in your life you are given a quota of breathing, that you will breathe so many number of times. But if you don't breathe and still live, that means you are getting into a recurring deposit scheme. Like in a bank, if every month you put $5, and in the end you get a bit compound interest. 50 months you put $250, but when you get $500, no? I didn't put in $500. That's what you do when you hold the breath outside. When you hold the breath inside, the lungs are distended. It's engaging in some work. It's expending energy. When you hold the breath outside, you are living and you are not using up your energy. So that prolongs your life. Over many years, doing many times, and each person's capacity, according to one's own capacity, depositing as much as you can, you get a good return. A person can deposit $100 a month, another person $5 a month. Each person gets back what he deposited. Another phenomenon is scientific, that if you use a machine less, if you are having a car, maybe 1974, but if the mileage is only 12,000 miles, it's still very good. It can run for a long more time. But another car, maybe 81, 84, but it's used up already 120,000 miles, that is going to die soon. In the same way, our lungs, we keep using it all the time. If we do the pranayama, we don't expand and contract so many times. It's a soft breathing, but one thing, another thing is we don't use it so many number of times. So use the machine less, and it is available for you for longer number of years and more efficiently. The same lungs what you have, I'm not changing the lungs for you, transplantation I'm not doing, but I am rendering better lungs for you by introducing this pranayama. Very, very important benefit for smokers. If they practice pranayama, they can give up smoking. The very important factor that makes a person smoke again and again is the urge for smoking, because the capacity to absorb oxygen in the body has died out. If he does pranayama, he gets a better capacity to absorb oxygen. Then he doesn't get an urge to smoke. It is not only for smoking, it's for alcoholism, it's for drugs, it's for anger, it's for irritation, it's for many, many things. When you improve the level of your health, you are avoid of many sickly habits, many sickly traits. You won't overeat. What a blessing, so many things you get. I cannot directly prove everything because it calls for a lot of time, but take it for granted. These are many benefits. Last but not the least, the most important of these chapters is ether cure. Of all these natural elements, the lightest of food is ether. But not only it's lightest, but it is the strongest and the foremost of food. It can be talked in both languages. In the Vedic languages, logical language, whatever comes first is more important than what comes next. Before living beings were brought in, moving creatures were brought in, plants, their food was made so that they could live on the food, plant kingdom. And before the plant kingdom could come, the earth was made where the plant kingdom could stand and sustain. Before the earth was made, the air, water, all the other elements were made so that they could sustain on their elders. Before we came in, our parents came. We could lean on the parents as children. We cannot be independent, go to the McDonald's and earning our money. Babies cannot do that. Babies have to depend upon parents. So, parents are important. We have a lineage over there. Listen carefully. Because they are our parents, we have to owe a respect to them. We may be eating the plant kingdom. That does not mean that we have no respect. We can eat the vegetables with respect. It is the order of nature. But why not eat the animals? Why not eat the deer or any other animal? There is a simple explanation to it. The carnivorous animals have a nature for themselves, a killing tendency, a killing instinct. The human beings live in a symbiotic community, in a peaceful society where we have to love thy neighbor, as the Bible says, and be kind to others, and we have to have a sattvic feelings, a sarve jana sukhino bhavantu. If you want to live in a symbiotic community or a peaceful society, you must have your nature according to the herbivorous animals who don't harm others. If you have the nature of a lion or a tiger or a wolf, in civilization, and that's what we suffer for most of the time, when somebody is hitting you, fighting with you, shouting at you, scratching you, disturbing you, that's what is happening, waging war from one country to another. These are all tamasic natures which comes out of eating such food. But if you are just a vegetarian, it's not enough. You eat more vegetables and develop sattvic nature, you will be loving the world, you will be helpful to others, you will develop a symbiotic community. In that way, in the order of preference, ether is the most important food. Ether is not visible like sunlight. It's not even, you can't even touch it like water, like the other food that we eat. It's not grass. It's very light. It's not even visible. It's not even felt like air. We feel air when the air touches our body. We can't even feel this ether. Then how can it be food? In the Sanskrit language, it gives you the real meaning for ether. Ether is mistaken by some people as the hydrocarbon mentioned in the chemical world. It's not a hydrocarbon. It is space. Sanskrit term is akasha. Kham mano, kham is emptiness, space. If there is no emptiness in this room, if the room is jam-packed with 2,000 people inside, their existence will become difficult. More people cannot come in. The question of their own existence is in question. So, living becomes miserable. If you have more space, these people are living comfortably, sitting here comfortably, listening. If there were 2,000 people really, can you listen to me? They'll be only fighting and you'll hear screams and noises. You'll be suffocating. For comfortable existence of people, we need space. for the world to exist, for the people in the world to exist, we need space, adequate space. The same space is needed for the particles inside. If you fill a bag with, say, pulses, you put green gram in the bottom and you put black gram in the top and fill it up and try to mix it. When it mixes, black gram will remain in the top and green gram will remain in the bottom. They will not mix with each other. The food that we eat has to be mixed well in the stomach. It has to be mixed mechanically in the mouth, in the esophagus, in the stomach, in the small intestine, in the large intestine. Everywhere it has to be churned and mixed together, and valuable material has to be taken out and waste has to be thrown out. All these activities have to be taken place, and that needs space. You can't jam pack it. You have to eat moderately. And that means there has to be occasion. If you see a civilized person in today's world who eats many, many times in a day, his colon is filled with material. And in that condition, his digestion will be poor, his elimination will be poor, and he cannot function normally. He will get disease and more disease very soon. And his colon will be clogged. And so, if you eat moderately, you have space for digestion, it's good. For even ordinary persons who eat moderately, fasting periodically, once in a while, is very good. That's why in the traditional Vedic culture, they have introduced periodic fasting, like Ekadasi, Ram Navami, Janmashtami, so many gurus' birthdays, so many appearance days, periods. We fast now and then so that we give some rest to the stomach. But in today's practice, people change these practices to their own convenience. We should abstain from grains. We can eat other things. Cheesecake, we can fill it up. We can eat potatoes, we can fill it up. Peanuts. There are other things, we fill up our belly and rather end up eating more than the other days. That's not fasting. The essence of fasting is renunciation, give up. And give up willingly. And if you don't give up, if you are putting some food in the stomach, it will anyway be working. And if you put cheesecake, it will be having to work more than other days. It's heavy food. So on such days, either eat very, very light food like juices and fruits and leave it at that, or nothing at all. Best thing is not to eat any food at all. If you can totally fast for the day, that's the best. Water is good to drink. Drink water step by step and retaining it in the mouth. Like that, take water. That's very good. But the values of fasting has been explained in so many places. In the history, in the science, and in religion. We have seen the values of fasting. When you keep on giving food in the stomach, it keeps on working. It's logical to understand that the machine will wear out sooner. If you don't put food in the stomach for a long time, it can take rest sometimes, and it can do the cleaning work that is to be done. Periodically, the body has to be cleaned internally also. And when you drink water without taking food, it helps in the cleaning even better. Don't have to take a lot of water, but a little water is good during fasting. Most important thing in the fasting is the breaking of the fast. Any food can fast, but it calls for a sensible person to break the fast. The Ekadasi, maybe a person has fasted ideally, but if he rushes to the Dwadasi heavy meal, then the benefit of fasting is lost. You should break the fast very lightly, with a very light meal. Maybe juices of carrots or watermelon, You know, that in that way take it for the first meal and second meal maybe some vegetable salad and the third meal maybe grain meal, you know. If you go gradually, the body gets prepared to consume food or digest food and assimilate them. If you put heavy food in the morning when after you finish fasting, the body will become weak. It cannot suddenly change its gear and adjust itself. Supposing you are going in fifth gear or fourth gear in a standard ship or in an automatic car, you are going fast and you put the reverse gear suddenly, you know what happens, right? It will completely break. The gears will be broken off. And that's what will happen in the fire of digestion will be put off. If you put a log of wood over an amber burning with a low flame or covered, amber means covered with ashes. If the fire which is burning here yesterday, you cover it with ashes and you put a log of wood over that, even that fire will go off. So, sensibly break the fast. How long can you fast? Some people say you can fast for 20 days, 40 days. Many practitioners of naturopathy in this country, they prescribe long fasting. But we have observed that fasting for more than 3 days is not really useful. 3 days in some cases maybe 10 or 12 days, because it depends upon the amount of matter that's accumulated in that person and the amount of continuation that the body does engage itself in. Like during the fasting, first day it's going to be a horrible experience because you've not done it before. So, persons who have never fasted must do partial fasting to get trained to the idea that fasting is good. And read books on the values of fasting. Never read a cookery book on the day of fasting. Never read books which will excite you, even otherwise. No? Sexually or irritably, violent movies or violent novels. Don't read on those things. Read religious books. Read among the religious books some beautiful stories of Krishna's childhood. It's so pleasing. No? Read such things which will give you peace of mind. It's necessary to have mental composure. Take a cool shower. See to it that your head is kept cool. And don't overwork yourself. Working moderately is good, but don't strain too much on the fasting day. Don't think about food. Think about the values of fasting. If there is a traffic jam, too many cars coming in, we cannot drive comfortably. But if there is few cars running around, we can drive safely and easily. The same way in the body, there are several main roads, highways and small lanes and by lanes and all that. All these places, small bacteria, blood cells keep going up and down, going forward and backward all the time. But if you keep on eating, there will be definitely traffic jams. When you do a fasting, the traffic jams are clear. Accumulation of toxic matter will be removed. Filth will be removed from the body and the eliminatory program which is going on vigorously like a reverse gear should not be changed into sudden forward gear. Change it moderately. Continue to stay for some time and then go forward. So, when you are fasting, think about peaceful things and don't strain yourself. And there are many people who have done scientific experiments on insects and animals. There are certain insects whose general life term was supposed to be, say, 2 months or 3 months. They tried it feeding alternate days and they saw that the animal was living double its duration. They tried it on several animals, you know, and they found that lifespan was increased. Polar bear is able to hibernate, is able to sleep for 6 months without any food. There are so many flies and mosquitoes who are able to hibernate without any food for a long time. They don't die without food. We actually prolong our life by fasting. In the same way as I told you about the breathing, there is a certain quota of food allocated for you throughout life. And that quota, if you want to finish up fast, you die soon. In Hindi, they say, for a person who dies, they say, iska dana pani khatam ho gaya. Means his quota of food in this world, he has finished it earlier than necessary. And so there is no more ration, so he has to die. So if you eat moderately or if you fast now and then, your quota of food will not be given to anybody else. Don't be afraid of that. Your quota will complete. And don't think that, oh, today they made a rasgulla and I'm fasting. Look how bad. Don't worry about it. You will get a chance. Your rasgulla will come to you. Your gulab jamun will come to you. Don't have to worry about it. Your pancake or your beautiful food, whatever others are eating, don't worry about it. They are finishing it up fast. You will get it. Everything that is meant for you, you will get it. And you will be surprised, in due course, you will see that you get even better chances for eating than others. And you get better values of food than others. With all this varieties of natural resources that we have used so far, this is the most simple and best for you to use any time. If you have any problem, no matter what it is, headache, neckache, name it, if there is a crisis, simply fast. Don't have to consult anybody. Abstain from eating. And immediately, you keep on getting the benefit of fasting. The suffering goes on reducing. And when you fast, totally surrender to Krishna. I am